I always tell friends who are interested in getting pets that they should adopt. There's always a difference between an adopted pet and one that's not. There's a level of appreciation that your dog has when you adopt them. It's almost as if, and I truly believe that Bone knew that I saved him in some way, because there's a million animals that just need somebody to love them so much, and it just kills me that there's other Bows out there.
That's a clip from a Shelter Pet Project PSA about why this woman adopted her dog, Bo, from a shelter. Did you ever adopt a pet from a shelter? Why did you decide to do that? And what has the adoption meant to you? I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's 8 minutes past 6 o'clock on this Wednesday, March 19th. We would like to hear your stories about pet adoption and pet rescue this hour, because it's on our minds this week since Hank the ballpark pup made his debut at Miller Park yesterday. Such a great story, isn't that? The little stray discovered and cared for by the Brewers during spring training in Arizona and eventually adopted by one of the Brewers executives. Hank is getting international attention and raising awareness about the plight of stray animals and their need for adoption. And it's nice to know that a portion of the proceeds from the sale of Brewers gear with Hank's likeness on it will benefit the animals at the Wisconsin Humane Society in Milwaukee. We're not going to talk so much about Hank's story this hour, but we would like to focus on the need for homes for pets and shelters and welcome your thought and your questions and stories about why you decided to adopt from a shelter. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. You can post a picture of you and or your adopted pet on Facebook as well. A number have already done that. You can also tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Let me welcome our guest. Christy Keith is a writer and media consultant in the fields of animal welfare, pet adoption, and veterinary medicine. She's the social media manager for the Shelter Pet Project, the Ad Council's public service ad campaign promoting shelter pet adoption. She's also a communications and social media consultant for Maddie's Fund, a family foundation dedicated to making America a no-kill nation, and one of the sponsors of the Shelter Pet Project. Good morning.
Good morning, Joy.
It's great to have you with us. So we're not going to focus on Hank, but what do you think of the story about Hank, the ballpark pup?
Oh, it was a wonderful story, and it inspired the hearts of a lot of people who have had similar experiences of adopting a homeless pet, and it also inspired people who maybe hadn't considered doing that. We love the team for taking on this little guy and just think he's a wonderful role model.
And he's so darn cute.
Yes, he is. He's straight out of Central Casting.
He really
is. Little heart.
Well, apparently stray dogs are pretty common in the Phoenix area where the Brewers hold their spring training. And I'm sure they're a common in many, many places. Can you give us a sense of how big the problem of homeless dogs, cats, and other animals is nationwide?
It's a problem that's very large. There's approximately, and we don't really have exact statistics because most communities don't keep track, but all the best estimates say that about 8 million dogs and cats enter shelters every year. About half of them are reclaimed by their families, taken to rescue groups or adopted, and about half are not.
And those half that are not are euthanized?
They are killed, yes.
Yeah, yeah. And you said killed because euthanized is too kind a word for that?
Euthanasia means a merciful death, a release from suffering. And mm-hmm. when you have a healthy or treatable pet, they can't really be euthanized. They can only be killed. Certainly some of these animals are sick and need true euthanasia, the kind you or I would want for our own pets. And about a small number of them are probably, I'm really referring to dogs, a very small number of them are probably not safe, and I think I might call that euthanasia as well. But the majority of the animals who lose their lives in shelters are wonderful pets, just like Hank, or your dog, or mm-hmm. my dogs, and they really deserve to find the happiness and good outcome that Hank did.
Yeah, and I do have a a dog lady. She's just turned 14. I adopted her more than 10 years ago. Australian Shepherd mix.
Oh, I had one of those.
Yeah, she's a darling, and she's showing some signs of her age, but I love her dearly. I adopted her from the Iowa County Humane Society, which is a county a couple over from Dane County, where I am here in Madison. Mm-hmm. And that happens to be a no-kill shelter. We can talk more about that later. Mm-hmm. I adopted my cat, Ray, a polydactyl kitty.
Oh,
from the Jefferson County Humane Society. And I have adopted from the Dane County Humane Society, too. I've had a lot of pets in my adult life, and some were strays, some were animals I adopted from family members or friends who weren't able to care for their pet anymore.
Great.
And others I adopted from shelters, and I love them all very, very much. Why do you think people should think about adopting pets rather than, say, buying a pet from a pet store or a breeder?
Well, I don't think that saying a pet store or breeder are equivalent. Obviously, pet store puppies come from puppy mills and other unsavory origins, and buying puppies from puppy mills, from pet stores, supports an industry that I think that if people knew more about it, they wouldn't want to support. Breeders, good breeders, are part of the solution, and I don't think anybody really wants to criticize people who make that choice for their families. Fortunately, there are so many people who bring dogs and cats into their homes every year. The best estimates that we have is it's somewhere between 11 and 17 million people, and since approximately 3 million healthy and treatable pets are being killed in shelters every year, you can see there's a lot of room there for people to still have their freedom of choice. But the reason that we think that they should consider shelter adoption first is, number one, what we've been talking about. You know, these pets deserve the exact same love that, you know, your dog and my dogs have, that cats that we have adopted from shelters. They're fantastic animals. They deserve our love. Why not consider them first? Because they're going to be just as valuable a member of your family as a pet that you get another way. You're doing a fantastic good deed, providing a safety net of love and care in your community. It just seems like an incredible win. And as, again, you know, the shelters are full of wonderful pets. So why not make that your first stop?
Yeah, and I'm glad you made the differentiation between a pet store and a breeder, because some people just, they have a dog and they might just have a litter a year or whatever, and it's not necessarily a puppy mill.
Absolutely. There's room for everybody right now.
Yeah.
You know, that maybe wasn't true 25, 30 years ago when the numbers of pets dying in shelters was in the 20 to 25 million range, but through spay-neuter programs and public education and awareness, that number has come down to a number that we could manage if people were more aware of the problem. There was a study done by Best Friends Animal Society that found that people estimated that somewhere around 500,000 pets were losing their lives in shelters in the country every year.
Mm.
So people need to be aware that that number, while still a manageable number, if they make the choice to adopt, that, in fact, it's closer to 3 million. So I think that's a really good point to make for people.
Yeah, that's still heartbreaking. Now, Andrea on Facebook says, this topic is near and dear to my heart. I have rescued a pity, and I foster for the Fetch Wisconsin Rescue. By rescuing, you are literally saving a life. And of course, a pity is a pit bull.
Yes. I
know Andrea, and to talk a little bit about these rescues are another option, I guess.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Rescue groups are an incredible way to expand the capacity of animals a community can save. I think in an ideal world, animal shelters would kind of be a point of intake for animals whose families have fallen on hard times, who are unable to care for their pets, who need resources and help. But the animals themselves do best in a home environment, as I think you can imagine. And we love rescue groups because they pull the animals out of the shelters where they're, you know, even the best shelter in the country is still not a great place for pets, right? You know, it's not a home environment. It's not what they're used to. It's not where they thrive. Rescue groups operate on the basis of foster homes. Now, some shelters also have foster care programs, which is great, but it brings the pets out of the shelter, puts them in a home environment. Rescue groups know the pets better because they live with them. They can give you more valuable information about what they'd be like to live with, whether that's the right pet for you. Additionally, it's excess capacity. A shelter might be able to take in, I'm just making a number up in my head, 2,000 animals a year. But if they expand that capacity by working with rescue groups in their own foster homes, they could double or triple that number.
We are talking about pet adoption this hour and welcoming your stories, welcoming your questions too. Wondering why you decided to rescue a pet, why you decided to adopt from a shelter. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post, including a photo, on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. This is the Ideas Network. We're talking about pet adoption this hour with our guest, Christy Keith. She is a writer and media consultant in the fields of animal welfare, pet adoption, and veterinary medicine. She works with the Shelter Pet Project, which is the Ad Council's public service ad campaign promoting shelter pet adoption. And she also works with Maddie's Fund, a family foundation that is one of the sponsors of the Shelter Pet Project and dedicated to making America a no-kill nation. And we're talking about pet adoption because of all the recent awareness, thanks to Hank the Ballpark Pup, who is now in Milwaukee after being taken in by the Brewers. And all of the awareness that he has raised for pet adoption in the process. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org if you would like to share a story on how you adopted your pet. And let's take some calls. We have Mary in Eau Claire with us first. Hello, Mary.
Hello.
Hi.
We have had animals from the shelter here in Eau Claire for, many, many years.
And why did you decide to go to the shelter, Mary, instead of someplace else?
Because they needed us.
Yeah, because the animals needed you. Yeah, and so who did you adopt?
We now have a small Italian greyhound. Oh. Which is really, she's, you know, only about maybe 2.5 feet long. You say greyhound and people think of these huge racing dogs, but she's a very small dog, very petite. And then we have a Siamese cat that's magnificent.
Yeah, and I bet you, Mary, that your dog and your cat did need you, but I bet you you get a lot out of having them, too.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Warm and friendly.
Yeah. Thank you for sharing that story. That's very sweet. And those greyhounds, for a while, were really, a lot of those greyhound racing places shut down in Wisconsin, and there was a real need to find homes for those greyhounds, Christy.
Well, you're making me smile because Guess what kind of dogs I have?
Oh, you have greyhounds.
Yes.
That is wonderful. Are they former racers?
They are from, they never raced, mm-hmm. but they came into a rescue group here in Michigan called Grace Rescue, who I love to death. And they had these, two girls that had already been placed in homes. But they, their family wasn't able to keep them, and they returned them to Grace. And Grace needed to find them a home together because they were very tightly bonded. Mm-hmm. Their names are Val and Stella, and I absolutely fell in love with them. I was at the dog park, and the rescue group representative just happened to be there. I bumped into her and I said, oh, I'm looking for a greyhound to adopt, a greyhound. And she kind of grabbed my arm and said, we can help with that. And they brought a number of dogs out to my house to see who would fit into the family the best. And I just fell in love with these two girls and brought them into my family 2 years ago. And they are just the light and joy of my life.
Yeah, well, bless you, too. You know, you did mention, though, that sometimes you might adopt a pet from a shelter or and it doesn't work out in your family. And I mean, can you help us try to make this as successful as possible?
Yes, I think that this is another area where I really love rescue groups because they can, number one, they can find, they have more detailed day-to-day living information about the animals, what they're like in home environment, how they work with other dogs and cats and other family members, children, grandchildren. So when you're working with a rescue group, you often have a lot more information. It ups the odds you're going to have a successful adoption. And, of course, any good rescue or good shelter will take the animal back if it doesn't work out and help you make a choice that's going to work better for your family. You know, and I, unfortunately, in some shelters, you're going to get grief for that, is if you failed this animal. I think it's better to give them a chance. And if it doesn't work out the first time, you know, continue to work to find a pet who will fit into your family better. And let that pet go on to get a chance to live in a family where they'll be a perfect fit.
Yeah. And I completely understand the process, but each time I adopted a pet, you know, you have to fill out an application and, you know, give references. And it's almost like applying for a job. And I guess you are. It's a very important job.
It is. I think that a lot of people rightly suggest that the process has become too adversarial.
It's, right.
And I think that there is a problem when you work in animal welfare. You see a lot of sad stories, a lot of animals whose humans didn't keep faith with them. And sometimes you become kind of jaded. I think it's important to realize, I don't have statistics nationwide, but for example, here in Michigan where I live, only 2% of Michigan's total animals end up homeless. 98% of the pets stay in their family. Most of them are loved and well cared for. And it's easy when you're on the front lines of animal sheltering to forget that and to think that people are, you know, jerks and don't really care about their pets. And you start treating your potential adopters as if they themselves were suspect. This isn't good customer service. This isn't doing animal shelter and rescue adoption any favors. It's really a problem, and I think something that a lot of organizations, including Maddie's Fund, the ASPCA, and other groups who do education in animal shelters and people who run rescue groups and shelters, to try and help them understand how to better work with their communities to have a compassionate attitude toward those people who find they cannot keep their pets.
Mm-hmm.
Because as we've seen in these past few years of economic downturn, life throws you curves and people have lost their homes. They've lost their jobs. They've had a hard time, you know, feeding their kids. If they turn to their community shelters and rescue groups for help with their pets, well, that's what we want them to do. That's why they're there. So I think compassion, understanding, better customer service would help defray some of that perception that people have that the process of adopting a pet is too difficult and that the people that they deal with are too judgmental. The great news is that a lot of shelters and rescue groups have gotten that message, and you can have a fantastic adoption experience at lots and lots of organizations.
Very good to know. Chris in Wisconsin Dells is with us. Hi, Chris.
Hi. Good morning.
Good morning.
I'm sitting here with my little disabled kitty in my lap, and for the past 35 years, I have been rescuing in various situations disabled and abused animals, and I would like to encourage people who have the resources and the time, because it's mostly a time issue, to do that, to try and help animals that are out there on the fringes and are not like the happy bounding dog running through your yard. But I have a wonderful story about that. I rescued a very young puppy. He was thrown into the street when he was 4 weeks old in Milwaukee from the Milwaukee Humane Society. And he had an endemic cardiomyopathy. And it appeared pretty badly when he was about 3 years old. And the executive director of medical services for the Humane Society there came to my house 3 times a week. And for lunch, which I made them wonderful lunches, he and my veterinarian, he taught her veterinary acupuncture on my dog for free for about 2 years until the dog passed away. And I think that, you know, we just need to bond together and take care of these animals. And I would just like to once again encourage people to do rescue for abused and disabled animals.
Oh, that is a wonderful story, Chris. And if I want to understand this correctly, it was the vet from the Humane Society who came and helped your vet
He's since deceased, but he came to my house 3 times a week and gave my dog an acupuncture treatment. And he taught my veterinarian veterinary acupuncture on my dog.
Yeah, so what's Kitty's name in your lap right now?
Well, his given name is Cricket, but I call him Bubby.
Because he's a Bubby.
He's a Bubby. He's not a cat. I have no expectations that he's ever going to be a cat. He's a Bubby.
Yeah, well, we will. Thank you very much for sharing that and the message of considering a disabled pet if you are going to adopt a pet, because they need your love too, maybe more than ever. Thank you, Chris. We'll get our guest, Christy Keith, to respond to your story after we check the news. And we welcome your stories, too, about adopting pets. This is the Ideas Network.
So I'm a cat, and I just moved in with this new human, and she's got this little toy she's always playing with all day long. Tap, 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 bloop, bloop. She can't put it down. There it is. Oh, and get this. She even talks to it. Last week, she asked it for Chinese, and guess what? Egg rolls showed up like magic. Humans have cool toys.
That's a clip from a Shelter Pet Project radio PSA that depicts how a cat sees its owner's smartphone. We are talking about the Shelter Pet Project and the need for pet adoptions in the United States, and wondering if you have adopted your pet or pets from shelters. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It is 6:37 on this Wednesday, March 19th. Talking about pet adoption and adopting from shelters and the need for pet rescues because of Hank, the ballpark pup, which you've undoubtedly heard about by now, the stray that the Brewers cared for and eventually adopted, now in Milwaukee. And Hank made his debut at Miller Park yesterday. So we're not talking so much about Hank, but we are talking with a guest about the need for adopting animals, and we're welcoming your tales of adopting animals. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. You'll also see that a number of listeners have posted pictures of their adopted pets on our Facebook page. By the way, just a tease, Kathleen Dunn is planning on having Hank the ballpark pup in the studio with her in Milwaukee, and the focus of a show sometime during the first week of April. So stay tuned for more details on Hank's first appearance on Wisconsin Public Radio. Our guest is Christy Keith, a writer and media consultant in the fields of animal welfare, pet adoption, and veterinary medicine. She is the social media manager for the Shelter Pet Project, the Ad Council's public service ad campaign promoting shelter pet adoption. She's also a communications and social media consultant for Maddie's Fund, a family foundation dedicated to making America a no-kill nation, and one of the sponsors of the Shelter Pet Project. And we have learned that she is joining us from her home in Michigan, where she shares her home with two adopted greyhound dogs. Do you have any other animals, Christy?
I do. I have a Scottish deerhound named Raleigh, who is from a good breeder. I grew up with this breed, and I always feel in my heart that no home is complete without one, but I just adore all my dogs equally, and but there is a very special bond with a pet that you've adopted.
Yeah.
I agree with you on that.
So let's respond to our caller just before news time, who was calling us with her. She said we didn't get into the details of her cat's disability, but her cat, mm-hmm. Her disabled kitty was sitting on her lap, Bubba, mm-hmm. or Bubby. And maybe talk a little bit about do pets with special needs, need more? Are they a special issue in shelters?
Yes, I think that, again, this is a really a great opportunity for people who have that extra room in their hearts to look to rescue groups often. There are rescue groups that focus on pets with certain, I don't even want to call them disabilities, but physical challenges or special needs, mm-hmm. Such as tripods, pets with three legs, which is amazingly enough. I have had a dog who was a tripod, and there's a whole community of people who really just want to support the adoption of these animals and help them. We often say that dogs and cats are born with three legs and a spare.
Mm-hmm.
So tripods make fantastic pets and are often just as active. My brother and sister-in-law had a wonderful tripod kitty named Kingman, who they adopted after the 1989 earthquake in San Francisco. He just moved in after the earthquake. He decided it's dangerous out there. So they adopted him, and he could do anything. He could go to the top of the cat tree and race all around the house. And so, these animals sometimes are at a disadvantage and sometimes they're at an advantage, because some people just really say, I had a tripod pet, mm-hmm. I want another one. I want to give them a chance they might not get in a big shelter who doesn't have the resources to promote special needs pets. Some of the pets do need some care. They need behavioral management. They need medical attention. They have manageable conditions like diabetes. And some of them need what we call hospice adoptions or hospice fostering, where they are at the end of their days and they just need a warm lap and a loving home to spend that time and, just bless the hearts of the people who take these pets in. But I want to take this opportunity to point out that the majority of pets in shelters and rescue groups are healthy and happy animals who have no behavior problems, or they have the exact same behavior issues that any puppy or kitten would have. They need to learn to use litter box or walk on a leash. Mm-hmm. They don't have special needs and challenges. So while I love the people who open their hearts to those special pets, I don't want to create the impression that the majority of animals looking for homes have special needs, because I think that that's a myth and a misconception that a lot of potential adopters have, in that it sends them to other places to get pets who they perceive as not coming with that baggage.
Right.
And I, one of the big missions of the Shelter Pet Project is just to put out the message that whatever you're looking for, whatever your heart is desiring, you can almost certainly find it in a shelter or rescue group near you.
Bonnie emails, I've heard that the average age of a shelter dog is 6 months to a year old. They were adopted as cute little roly-poly puppies, but their adopters couldn't deal with the puppy energy of a full-size dog, and they never properly train them. I guess that kind of brings up, too, the puppies versus older dogs in terms of adoption. You want to talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, definitely. I'm really glad you brought that up. There's a lot of things that people say about shelter pets, mm-hmm. that are conventional wisdom, that, in fact, many shelters and rescue groups will say themselves and perpetuate. And the data on them is non-existent or contradictory.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the things that Maddie's Fund and other organizations, the ASPCA being another that does an enormous amount of research, the University of Florida Veterinary College does research on this, is looking at who are the pets who come into shelters. And in fact, do they have the, you know, characteristics of age and behavior that we keep saying they do? The ASPCA recently did some research looking into the idea that a lot of dogs in shelters who linger there are what they call, you know, big black dogs, big yeah. black dog syndrome, they call it, and found out that it's actually not true. That
interesting.
Yeah. Big black dogs are no more or less likely to be adopted than dogs of other colors and sizes. I mean, it is fascinating when you actually start getting data to understand what's really going on. And it's important for us in the sheltering industry to look at the facts rather than what we've always believed or even what seems rational. Now, are there a lot of young animals who never got basic manners training in shelters? I think that partly that is correct, that families take on pets. And I think that it's really unfair to families to say that they wanted them when they were cute and roly-poly and then they, you know, got rid of them when they weren't. What's happening is that the families took on an animal. They didn't have the resources and the support to actually understand how it is that you accustom a dog to living in a human family. It's easy, but if you don't know how to do it, it's not necessarily intuitive. We've become increasingly urban. People are cut off from a lot of knowledge about animals that we used to have instinctively. And so they sort of expect it to happen like magic. I think that there could be, that shelters could be, and many are, providing more support in terms of, you know, puppy socialization classes, puppy training classes, to help people understand how it is that puppies learn to live in our families. And when people bring these dogs to the shelter, it's because they're at their wit's end. They don't actually know how it is that you bridge them through their adolescence. But these dogs don't really need too much in the way of behavior modification. They need all that any puppy really needs to learn how to not pull on the leash, to learn how to not jump on people, to learn how not to bark every time the doorbell rings. Right. These are just simple, basic things that anybody can easily do with a dog. And it's unfortunate that this sort of animal sense and common sense about animals has passed away out of our culture, that I see that as something that a good shelter, a good rescue group will provide that support, help the people keep their pet. But if that's not really possible, then they will help the new adopter do those exact same things. It's very easy to train a dog not to behave like that, and you know it's something you can do in a matter of a few days.
Let's take some more calls. Thanks for waiting, Jennifer in Park Falls. What is your story?
There's a great rescue organization up here called Cat Chimps, and they take in all kinds of animals. And I've adopted two. I have Lucy, an American bulldog mix, and then I have Oliver, the cat. And they had Lucy and I come and meet Oliver for about 45 minutes to see if Lucy and, well, his original name was Sushi. But Lucy and Sushi, you can't yell at them at the same time. but so they're doing really well. And Oliver thinks he is, I believe, a dog, or definitely not really a cat. So we had Lucy and was a companion for my older dog, Rufus. And when he passed away, she was really sad. So I had to get her a companion when I'm gone. So it's a great organization, and they're also on Facebook. So if anybody up here is looking to adopt a pet, you can go on Facebook and look up Catkins, and you can see what they're doing in the area.
And that's CATKINS, Catkins?
Correct.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Thank you very much, Jennifer.
Great name.
That is wonderful. and since Jesse in La Crosse is with us now. Hi, Jesse.
Yes, good morning. I just wanted to call in and say how much I really love that all of our pets in our house have been shelter pets, particularly our dog. We adopted him 2 years ago when he was three, and he is a Shiba Inu Corgi cross. Mm. So he looks like a little fox.
Oh.
He came from he's very cute. Well, he's pudgy now because of the winter. But he came from a really bad hoarding situation with 30-some-odd dogs, some half-starved horses, and innumerable cats. So he had no social skills, no housebreaking, nothing. He also has a congenital eye issue where his depth perception is pretty much non-existent. So he'd been there for a little while, but honestly, with working with him, right off the bat, it was pretty frustrating because my husband and I were new dog owners. We have cats, and those are easy to care for. But getting used to Kobe, I really had my doubts at the beginning, but right now I would not trade him for the world. Oh. He is the most well-behaved. We can walk him off leash. He doesn't bark, doesn't jump. The worst thing he does is eat the cat food. So I'll take that.
Yeah, all dogs do that, I think.
So we're working a little bit more on socializing him with dogs. He's still very uneasy, very passive. So that's the only thing that we need to get him out of the shell. He's finally learned, as of like 4 months ago, how to play a version of fetch. So I'm very pleased to see that he's actually discovered toys and learned how to play with them within the past 6 months, which when we first got him the first year, he didn't play with toys at all. So it's so cool to watch him grow and to watch him sort of remember how to be a dog.
Yeah, so dogs are can be so resilient as long as owners can guide them, train them, care for them properly, Christy?
Oh, absolutely. I, you know, it's a really moving story. And, there is a very special bond that grows between an adopter and an animal who needed your help in the beginning. My Australian Shepherd, Mix, who I mentioned, I adopted her back in the 90s. And she's gone now. Her name was Colleen. She's the most beautiful dog in the entire world, of course. But she really was spectacularly beautiful. She was a part chow as well, so she had the beautiful red coat and the curly tail, and she had this beautiful Cleopatra eyeliner, and I just loved this dog. Mm-hmm. But practically within days of adopting her, she became extremely ill and was hospitalized, and I had to nurse her back to health. And the bond you have with a pet who needs that special care, there's nothing like it in the world. I mean, it is very, very deep. And she remains to this day, you know, there's a phrase we use in the dog world and perhaps in the cat world too, that she was my heart dog. Mm-hmm. And they'll just never, you know, I've loved all my dogs. I loved some of them, you know, just almost that much, but I will tell you there's nothing like it. So when you take in, dogs like your little guy, and you teach them to see the world in a different way, teach them to trust, you bring them to that realization that the world is a good place and that they're safe. It's very powerful and very rewarding to people.
We are talking about the benefits, the joys of pet adoption, and wondering if you have ever adopted a pet from a shelter or a rescue. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. Right now we are talking about pet adoption with our guest, Christy Keith. She is with the Shelter Pet Project and Maddie's Fund, and we are talking about the need for and the joys of pet adoption, in part because of all the attention homeless pets, strays, and pets have gotten since Hank the ballpark pup was discovered in Arizona, now in Milwaukee. We have many other callers, but I wanted to ask you, Christy Keith, about, I know that you are coming, or at least Maddie's Fund is going to be involved in an adoption event coming up in Dane County. Maddie's Pet Adoption Day is the end of May, I guess, in many locations, including here in Dane County. What's that all about?
So this is the fourth year that Maddie's Fund is a family foundation that was endowed with $300 million by the Duffield family. Dave Duffield is the founder of, he was the founder of PeopleSoft, co-founder, and of currently at Workday in Silicon Valley. And he and his family had a beautiful little dog named Maddie, and they promised her before they made it big that if they ever did, that they were going to work to make America safe for all her kind. Mm-hmm. And in honor of her spirit and the great love that they had for her, they created Maddie's Fund. And Maddie's Fund works with communities all over the United States to help them save all their healthy and treatable pets and they're working on some projects in Dane County. And one of them is the Maddie's Pet Adoption Days, which is an annual event where Maddie's Fund, not only does Maddie's pay the adoption fee for the pet, so in other words, the adopter can take that money that they would have spent adopting the pet and use it to buy the pet all kinds of wonderful toys.
Good.
That's what we recommend. Mm-hmm. And also donates to or gives a grant to the adoption agency, whether it's a shelter or rescue group, amounts ranging from $500 for a healthy adult animal to $1,000 to an animal with a medical or behavioral need or an animal who is a senior, 7 years or older, and $2,000 donated to the adoption organization for every pet who is both a senior and has a medical challenge. Mm-hmm. So it is an opportunity for the rescue organizations and shelters to get a big influx of money to help them save more pets. And it's a fantastic benefit for the people who get to divert that money to something else. And it's, of course, ultimately a huge win for the animals yeah. who get adopted.
Look, I'm looking forward to that. I could use a few more animals. Let me ask you, in our remaining moments, time mm-hmm. really flies. This has been a very interesting
yeah.
hour. But last night, the Madison City Council considered but tabled a proposed ordinance that was going to require owners of pit bulls in the city to spay or neuter their animals. It would be a mandatory thing, because they were concerned about how many pit bulls had to be dealt with by animal control,
mm-hmm.
Ending up in shelters. However, the Dane County Humane Society opposed the ordinance. They thought it would result in more pit yeah. bulls ending up in shelters as opposed to staying in the home that they were in. Mm-hmm. Can you give me a quick reaction to what you think about an ordinance like that?
Absolutely. Mandatory spay-neuter laws are very well-intentioned, but every major animal welfare organization opposes them because they do unfairly target the poor, because all the research that we have shows that the correlation between being spayed and neutered and not being spayed and neutered is income. It isn't intention. It isn't knowledge, it's money. It's the inability to pay for it or to get to it. A lot of people don't have transportation. You can imagine trying to take a pit bull on a bus to go get spayed or neutered. That's not mm-hmm. really viable. So what ends up happening is you pass these laws, you target pit bulls or whatever, or all animals, and people who don't have the resources to get them spayed and neutered they don't have any more resources the day after that law gets passed. Those animals end up getting seized from them and put into the shelter, which is already groaning with too many animals, particularly too many pit bulls. And you have ended up creating a situation where animals who have homes lose them. People who love their pets don't have them anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing gets better and pets suffer. It's like, it sounds like it would work, but it doesn't. The answer in every community that's tried it is to create targeted spay-neuter programs that go out into the communities and yeah. provide services that people want for free or a very low cost, and that will solve the problem. That's what they're doing in Chicago.
And that's where we'll have to leave it, since we're out of time, unfortunately. Thank you so much for being with us.
Yes, thank you.
Christy Keith talking with us about pet adoption.